Welcome to another edition of Plugged Into Long Island on Long Island's number one for all the hits, 106.1 BLI, and Long Island's only classic rock, 102.3 WBAB. Good morning. My name is Syke. You can typically hear me Monday through Friday mornings on BLI, host of Syke and MJ in the morning. But this morning, a little bit of a different role I'm playing, talking with Colleen Merlo, the executive director of LI Against Domestic Violence. Good morning, Colleen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to say, love the last name. Big fan of the wine. So excellent last name there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You've never heard that joke, I'm sure, right?
Never. It's new. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the work that you and your crew do over at LI Against Domestic Violence. What exactly is your mission? How long have you been functioning on the island? And you specifically, how long have you been a part of this organization?
Sure, great place to start. So LI Against Domestic Violence provides comprehensive services for survivors of domestic violence, abuse, and any children that are affected by family violence. We really focus on creating safety, both in the immediate crisis, as well as providing support and opportunities for long-term healing from violence. And we've been at this a really long time. The organization has been for years. And I've been with the organization for just over 6 years now.
Wow, that's a pretty long time. And I'm sure the work that you're doing Monday through Friday, I'm sure it's not just a Monday through Friday job. I'm sure it's a 7 day a week job that you definitely take home with you every single day, correct?
It is. I mean, I think if you're going to work in this field, you have to be really good at balancing. You know, you can't just walk in the door and turn it off, but you do have to find and carve out times where you're recharging yourself, because, you know, some of the stories that we hear really are very devastating. Mm-hmm. And if you bring that all home with you, you're going to burn out really quickly. So one of the things that we do at LI Against Domestic Violence, at least I think we do, and my staff may say otherwise, but I think we have a lot of fun at work. Mm-hmm. Although we're dealing with like this difficult topic, we try to make sure that we balance that with being a really good cohesive team and lead one another.
Sure. And how many people are on the team? Is it a rather large team? Is it a small, close-knit team? Do you have different departments that work on different things at different times? Are you all one cohesive unit?
So we have about 40 staff, and we all work in our own niches. But one of the really great things about our organization is that we do work together. So if someone, you know, meets an advocate and starts the process there, they also get linked with our counseling department, and it's a warm handoff. So, you know, they don't have a little snippet of what counseling would look like from the advocate. And, you know, we just really wrap around that person and try to meet the needs the best we can. And certainly we can't meet every single need internally. So we also have really good strength in our referral sources.
Talking with Colleen Merlo from LI Against Domestic Violence here this morning. I'm plugged into Long Island, 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB. Speaking of abusive relationships, you know, I'm sure, as you said, it's something you deal with every single day. I'm sure most listeners would have in mind physical abuse. What other forms of abuse are there that you're dealing with? And I guess what's the most prevalent form of abuse that you see on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. So you're right. Most people think of physical violence, bruises that you could see on someone. And, you know, in some ways it would be a lot easier to confront domestic violence if we saw it manifest in physical marks all the time. But we also see a lot of emotional abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse, as well as cyber abuse. And we see that a lot with younger folks, but you know, it also happens with adults. And you know, it's really challenging. I'd say that always there's emotional abuse involved. So if physical abuse or financial abuse is going on, there's emotional abuse going on. So if I had to say there's a common piece, it would be the emotional abuse. You know, but it varies, and really it's about the abuser trying to intimidate and maintain power and control over the survivor. So anytime that's happening in an intimate relationship, we would consider it abusive.
And you mentioned cyber abuse. And, you know, of course, cyberbullying is something that I think a lot of kids deal with nowadays. Are you dealing with a lot of younger people coming to you, or is it more so a lot of parents that find that it's happening to their child coming to you? In an instance like that, I would imagine it's got to be super difficult in dealing with a child, whether 12, 13, 14, maybe even as high as 16 years old, dealing with something like that, as opposed to dealing with something completely different, you know, a 30-year-old woman or man in an abusive physical relationship. Is it a little bit more difficult dealing with children, especially when it comes to cyber cases?
So one of the things that we do in working with children is we do a lot of prevention education and talking about what healthy relationships are, because I think it's really important to start there. A lot of times young people and even adults don't know the relationship that they're in is abusive because nobody ever talked to them about what a healthy relationship is. And, you know, that sounds really strange, but it's true. So one of the things that we do is we work with local school districts from an early age and talk about healthy relationships. And obviously we're not going in and talking with elementary kids about, you know, intimate relationships, but we can start at a place where what do you want and set the guidelines and boundaries for maintaining those good, healthy boundaries and talk about what consent looks like. But to answer your question in regards to, is it harder to work with kids? You know, I think that sometimes kids, when they're in their first relationship, are so head over heels in love, it's hard to help them understand that the relationship might not be healthy. But we work with a lot of young people who really do very well with support and counseling. And certainly if parents and work with the counselors and the advocates, you know, young people can do really well and not go on to repeat the pattern. So sometimes what happens is if someone's in an abusive relationship, when they decide to leave or they choose to leave or the relationship ends, they may fall into a pattern where they're getting into another abusive relationship. And what I find is with young people in particular, give them that support and education early on, they really make healthier choices for themselves.
I definitely want to come back to that a little bit later on, because I think it's interesting to note how with kids, as you mentioned, they might not know necessarily that they're in a problematic relationship or an abusive relationship at first glance. And I'm sure that's got to be a struggle for you in working with people that aren't willing to either admit it or even willing to recognize that. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. And I also want to touch on COVID and how that's affected your services, but we can't get to that without asking you first, how common is domestic violence on the island?
So nationally, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will be a victim of domestic violence in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that in an average year, our hotline answers over 5,000 calls. Wow. And last year we worked with close to 7,500 clients. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's a lot of people.
That's 5,000 calls. So, and I'm assuming your call center is it 24 hours? I'm assuming that's around the clock, correct?
It is. So people can reach our hotline at 631-666-8833. And that is 24 hours a day. Our staff answer that hotline and we're there to answer questions, support you, link you to services if you need services. It's answered 24 hours a day. It's an ongoing operation.
It's plugged into Long Island, and Long Island's number one for all the hits, 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. I'm Psych, here today with Colleen Merlot from LI Against Domestic Violence. I mentioned COVID before, of course, the pandemic setting in early March here on the island, and I think a lot of people thought this was going to be over before, sooner rather than later. I'm not one of those people. I kind of saw this coming and it being so long, but I'm a lucky guy in that I'm not in an abusive relationship. I have a good home life, but that's not the case for many out there on the island. And I'm sure a lot of people having a lot of problems dealing with whatever relationship they're in that is problematic, now going on for close to 5 months of being at home, even as some of these restrictions have been lifted. People are still at home, people can't go back to work, and people have kids, and it becomes a little bit more of a difficult situation. How has the pandemic affected your services, and specifically not just your services, but also the victims who come to you for help with your services?
Sure. Well, we've had to be very creative to make sure that those who need our services can still access them while we were working remotely. Our shelter is a 24-hour operation, and that remained open the entire time. And we were really strategic and learning as we went, but strategic in our learning in terms of how to keep that space safe so that we could take new clients in while keeping staff and keeping the clients that were already there safe. And initially, you know, actually things were a little bit eerily quiet in the first week or so that, you know, New York went on pause. And I think that's because, quite frankly, people who needed to reach out for help couldn't. They were with the abusive partner 24 hours a day. And there was no respite. They couldn't say, oh, I'm going to work and then make the phone call, because they weren't going to work. The abuser wasn't going to work. And that lasted for a little bit. And then I'd say, you know, in May, our numbers really started to spike and people were reaching out and needing, you know, orders of protection, needing counseling services, wanting to come into shelter again. So it's been kind of a roller coaster. Since things have spiked in May, they've pretty much stayed pretty steady. Our hotline's receiving upwards of 20 calls every single day during this time. And, you know, people are hurting. As I said, you know, there's no respite and there's nobody looking at the relationships right now. You know, one survivor that I was speaking with had mentioned how, you know, she used to go to work and her coworkers, you know, a couple of them knew that she was involved in an abusive situation at home, and her coworkers would check on her. And if for some reason she didn't show up at work, they were calling her and saying, are you okay? And while she was at home, she didn't have that checks and balance. And so, you know, I think the lesson here too is if you are worried about someone or you know someone is in an abusive relationship, now's not the time to withdraw. It is the time to continue to just reach out and check in and say, hey, I'm just calling to say hello, make sure you're okay.
It's Colleen Merlo from LI Against Domestic Violence, the executive director of LI Against Domestic Violence. Their call center number 631-666-8833, 24 hours a day in operation. You mentioned early in the pandemic, calls had kind of slowed down. How many of your callers, or I guess those you serve, are return, I don't want to say customers, but return victims, I guess that would be, or user, a benefiter of your service versus new ones every single day? I would imagine you keep in close contact with those that you've helped in the past and continue to help down the line, correct?
We absolutely do. So a lot of our clients we work with for a couple of years, and that could be because there's something going on in terms of the relationship is ongoing. So, you know, that's something we don't force people to leave a relationship. So some survivors that come to us have made a choice because it's safer for them or because they feel it's the best place for them to be, to remain in a relationship. And so we will work with that person to stay safe within that relationship. And then we have people who leave the relationship and work with us ongoing to make sure that they're, you know, working with the counselors and getting things in place so that they feel good and can move on from the abusive past. I would say a majority of our calls are new callers. So people who are calling our hotline are typically, you know, first-time callers or repeat callers who have not quite entered services yet. So they may be people who called and you know, told us a little bit about the situation, and we may have safety planned with that person. You know, during COVID, that safety plan may have been, well, you're stuck in the house with this person. Is there a safer room to be in if things do escalate? Or can you move outside so that a neighbor might hear you if things escalate? And so we might have safety planned with that person, and then something else may have occurred where they're calling back and saying, you know what, I need to take, you know, another step in the direction towards safety, and I would like to get an order of protection. Can you link me with one of your advocates?
And this is going to lead to my next one here, because I want to get into how a friend or a loved one can get in touch with you and what they can do if the person's not yet willing to look for help. How frustrating is that for you as the director of this organization and working for this organization and those that you work with, that sometimes, because you say you don't force people out of an abusive relationship, I mean, you really can't, it's up to the person to decide, but when you see a case that you know 100% we need to get this person moved out or we need to have this person away from this relationship, it has to be frustrating when you know you just actually physically can't, correct?
So I think that one of the things, you know, we obviously can draw on experience and we can say we've seen people in similar situations and it's been dangerous. What we do is we actually use some very concrete surveys and tools to help people say, you know, it's not us telling you that this situation is dangerous, but we just did this assessment and you scored a 10, and that's the most danger anyone could ever be in. And sometimes on paper, that helps people to realize, I really am in danger. Sometimes law enforcement, who we partner with very closely, is really good at saying, you know, you are in danger. And that sometimes will help people realize it. You know, at the end of the day, we know that it's a journey and we've seen people on the journey. And so sometimes people need to test the waters in terms of ending the relationship and then decide to go back. And absolutely that can be frustrating. But that's not our role in terms of, right, we don't judge you. We just try to support you in where you're at and give you all the information and tools possible so that you can be safer. I think, you know, that's a professional stance. You know, I've also had friends who have been in abusive relationships. And I think watching a friend go through an abusive relationship is really, really scary. And oftentimes people feel like they don't know how to help. But the decision to leave can only be made by the person experiencing the abuse. So the friend just, you know, needs to be there and be supportive. That's really the role that a friend can play. It's also important to remember that this can be an embarrassing topic. People don't want to admit that they are in an abusive relationship because they feel like it's their fault and they feel responsible, which it absolutely isn't. The fault and responsibility lies with the abuser. But again, that's how the person feels. They may feel sad and lonely if they do choose to leave a relationship, even if it was abusive. And as I said, you know, sometimes people get back with their ex over and over, even though it's been abusive. And I think that if someone is willing to let you in and admit that they are in a relationship that is abusive, try to be as supportive and listen as much as you can, and know our hotline number, know the number to your local hotline, so that if there comes a time when, you know, that person's ready to make the step, you have that resource. And just one other thing, you know, sometimes family and friends want to confront the abuser. Mm-hmm. And I just want to caution listeners against that, because it can be really, really dangerous for yourself, but more importantly, for the victim of domestic violence. The abuser is going to know the victim was talking to you, and that can heighten the risk.
Talking with Colleen Merlo from the LI Against Domestic Violence organization here on the island. Their call center number 631-666-8833. If you or somebody you know happens to be in an abusive relationship, that call center line available 24 hours a day. Let's talk about somebody thinking or seeing firsthand that somebody they know and love could be involved or is involved in an abusive relationship, but maybe that person doesn't see it yet or they're not willing to come forward. What should somebody do if it was me and I saw that a friend of mine happened to be in an abusive, you know, domestic violence relationship? Where do I go? Who should I talk to? Do I come to you? Do you help give me the tools to deal with it? Or do you guys involve yourselves in that situation? I mean, you can't just all of a sudden just walk up to somebody and be like, hi, we heard a story about you and your boyfriend. You can't do that, right?
Right. That wouldn't go over too well, right?
Yeah.
I think the best thing that a friend can do, certainly they can call our hotline and get some tools and resources. Again, having that hotline number for that friend, if it comes a time when the friend needs the help. But I think something that really works well is being very concrete with that friend at a time when it's safe to do so. So not when the abuser is around, but saying something like, you know, I noticed that you seem really sad when, you know, Johnny's around. Or, you know, I noticed the other day that Johnny kind of pulled you pretty close, pretty hard and close to him. what was that about? You know, that seemed a little strange to me. Did you get scared at that? And see, and just open the doors. But again, giving concrete examples, because if you go at someone who, again, this is a relationship, right? So there's love involved, there's feelings involved. If you go at someone and just say, you know, I think Johnny is a jerk and you need to get away from him, he's dangerous, that person's going to feel like defending the person. So instead, you need to align yourself and really give concrete examples and always remind the person that they deserve to be in a relationship that makes them feel safe.
What do you think your clients would say is the best thing they've received from Ally Against Domestic Violence?
Well, you know, I don't think we really give our clients anything more than they have inside them. And I think helping clients to realize that they are strong enough, smart enough, capable enough to make the choices and decisions that they want in the relationship or out of the relationship. So I really think it's holding on to that hope, helping clients foster that sense of hope.
Do you work with any former clients? I mean, have you ever had a success story where somebody that you've worked with, you know, for a certain amount of months or years has come back and said, you know what, I want to join the team and I want to help as much as possible too, or no?
So that's really very a common thing. And we do have some people who are solid volunteers who have worked with us through our programs and give back through fundraising efforts or do speaking engagements for us. So it's a very common thing. And I think it's important for other survivors, new survivors, to hear that people do make it out on the other side. Because sometimes when people come to us, they've lost that spark. And it's hard for them to find that joy and hope that for the future. And hearing that other people have been through this and walked kind of a similar path really helps people, you know, to believe that they can do it.
It's plugged into Long Island at 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB. Psych here with Colleen Merlo from Ally Against Domestic Violence. You are the executive director. You mentioned fundraising and giving back. Before, is there anything that somebody like myself could do? If I just tomorrow said, you know what, I want to help in a certain way or do what I can down the line to help Ally Against Domestic Violence, how would I go about doing that? What could I do?
Well, normally I'd be able to invite you to a whole bunch of community events that we're doing, but fundraising looks a little different this year. We are planning some virtual events. And so certainly check our website and our Facebook and Twitter and follow us so that you can look at those events. But outside of those events, you can also look at our website and make a direct donation. It's liadb.org. You know, financial support is always needed to fill program holes, to fill fundraising holes right now that go directly to our programs. Also, our clients need some basic items sometimes. And so, you know, that fundraising dollars can go to make sure that, you know, some kids have a laptop so they could complete their schoolwork, for instance, or that someone can go out and buy a new outfit if they're starting a new job. So those are some of the things people can do. We do have a wish list on our website as well if people want to donate actual items.
All right. Ally Against Domestic Violence is the organization. You can find them online, liadv.org. The call center number, 631-666-8833, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Before we let you go, one final one here. I always like to get one of these success stories involved. And if there's anything that you're most proud of, the one thing that you could say today in the next 2 minutes, the thing that you're most proud of in working with this organization, Ally Against Domestic Violence.
I think one of the things, first of all, I'm most proud of the people I work with. My staff and, you know, what we've been through with COVID-19 has just reiterated this, are so dedicated and really put our clients first. So that's what I'm most proud of, is the team that works behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But for a success story, I think one of the things that's really amazing about the organization is that our clients do stay in touch with us. You know, you had said, do clients stay in touch? Do you work with them for years? Because we interact with people when they're at a crossroads in their lives or at a time when they really are feeling somewhat devastated walking through those doors, They remember us and they want to tell us when they get to a place where they reach a goal. So, you know, about a year ago, I had a client reach out, and this was not someone, I wasn't even at the organization. So this is going back, this woman had worked with us about 10 years prior, and she had two kids. And when she came into the shelter, she described to me that she felt so hopeless. Not for herself. She didn't really care about herself at that time, but she was so worried about what would happen to her kids, you know, bringing them into this shelter and this communal living situation when they had been used to such a different life. And she called me to tell me that one of her children had been accepted into medical school with a full scholarship. And, you know, it gives me chills to this day, even thinking about this story. But that's what happens when people, you know, make decisions to get safe and change their lives. And we're just there to support them and give them information that they may not have had. But really what makes the change is them. It's what they bring to the situation.
Love it. Well, I told you the 27 minutes was going to go quick, and it definitely did. Colleen Merlo from Ally Against Domestic Violence, the executive director. Again, that number, 631-666-8833. That's the 24-hour hotline. If you or somebody you know involved in a domestic violence or any sort of abusive relationship, give that number a call. 631-666-8833, available 24 hours a day. And the website, liadv.org. Colleen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck moving forward. And I do look forward to attending some sort of fundraiser whenever we're allowed to actually associate with a human being again.
I do too. We'd love to have you there. Thanks for this opportunity.